Let's pray. Jesus, speak to us, Lord. Let that deep love of Jesus move us and hear your word and obey your commands. Whatever the challenge that you bring us today, help us to listen to your voice and do it faithfully. Obey your commands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy New Year to everyone, because I know some of you hasn't turned up here last week, so here we are. Happy New Year 2025. So far good? Nobody got a cold like me? No. Brilliant, that's wonderful. See, New Year's always reminds me, people make lots of resolutions. Have you ever made it? Oh, I've got to ask you to put your hands up. No? No? I think lots of people make a resolution. That's a month. Because, you know, Christmas things, you know, you eat all sorts of food and all sorts of things. And, you know, it just feels sad and depressed or sometime after that, you make a resolution. And I picked a few resolutions. It's a bit of a humorist as well. So I just picked up these other resolutions people make. Learn a new skill or hobby. That's always a top one. Yeah. Or save money this year. That's one of the top ones. Some people go with the quit smoking. Yeah? Spend more time with the family and friends. These are the top two ones. And the other one says, go back to school to avoid paying my student loans. So that's one of the things humorously they said it. Or, stop drinking orange juice after I've just brushed my teeth. Yeah? I don't know why would they try it. Here's a loss. Lose weight by hiding it somewhere you'll never find it. Or find a more accurate scale. More accurate scale. Yeah? Or help all my friends gain 10 pounds so I look thinner. Is that's good? Good that. But I know some serious resolution people do make. New Year. But it's easy to make those promises or resolutions, but keeping them is not easy. Yeah? Apparently, lots of people make a resolution. It's less than 25% of the people who keep the promises. In fact, majority of them, they break the promises end of January. Yeah, that shows who we are. And a covenant is like a similar to making promises. In fact, covenant is like a primarily is a legal term. It refers to a type of a contract or a formal agreement or a promise or a pledge. That's what is a covenant that if you interpret that way. However, this language is best understood in the context of marriage. In the context of marriage, you can understand what the covenant is. Because that kind of love that focuses on commitment rather than personal fulfillment. It just focuses on a commitment to one another rather than a personal fulfillment. That's what this covenant means. So this morning we come here, this covenant service, which is a very unique thing that we do as a Methodist. But John Wesley brought this one, is a covenant we thought is very important to renew our covenant with the Lord. For me, this covenant is very special. The reason it's special is because it reveals God's unique characters. This covenant. Because we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 29, the Lord making the covenant. It says, the Lord making this covenant with you today, you will be my people, I will be your God. It reveals God's unique character. What is this character? What is this character reveals in this covenant? It reveals is the God who initiates. Yeah? He initiates. He starts this relationship with you. And it's very interesting because even though in an agreement, you like both have to agree, right? In order to make things work. In a relationship, or any kind of things, both needs to agree. But actually here, God starts this relationship. He initiates it. Even though he knows that we are fickle. Even though he knows that we are so bad at keeping relationship going. Even though he knew that we will break some point. That promise. But he initiates it. Knowing. Because that's what in New Testament Jesus said. He died for us while we are still sinners. Yeah? He didn't wait for us to become a holy, attend the church, or do the confession prayer, or do the proper things, do everything else good, so that when he dies, worth for dying for somebody that who turned good. Right? That's what we would do. But Jesus died while we are still sinners. And similar pattern here. He initiates this relationship. He doesn't wait for you to come back to him. We change like the wind direction. It depends on the circumstances. Sometimes we turn up to church, we don't feel like we don't want to come to church. Or we turn to be good with other person if they are good to you. Only kind to other person when they are kind to you. That is why this covenant, John Wesley calls, is a means of grace. This covenant is the means of grace and it's full of mercy. What is grace? And what is mercy? Someone said in a simplistic way, grace is when God gives us the things we don't deserve. It's like a gift of God, yeah? Grace is when God gives us the things that we don't deserve. And the mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve, like a punishment. Yeah? Does that make sense? And that's what it is. And the full of grace and the full of mercy. This covenant reveals the kind of God that we came here to worship. So, having received this relationship that God gives us, he initiated that relationship, what are we going to do? Are we just say, okay, it's good on him. Nice God, full of grace, full of mercy, let's sit home and it's fine. Just enjoy this moment. Or is that demands something from us? Respond. Does that respond to what kind of the God that we initiated the relationship? How do we respond to it? Because John Wesley recognized this and he says like it's not enough to receive this relationship that God initiates anyway, but also we need to sustain that relationship and grow in our connection with God. That's our part. How do we sustain that relationship? How to grow in that relationship? You don't have to do it on your own. Because again, it's a God full of mercy and full of grace. He helps you to keep that covenant. But how do we sustain that? How do we keep going and growing in that relationship? And that's why we read John 15, talks about Jesus. Our relationship with God illustrated by the image of the vine and the branches. It's a vine and the branches. How does that? That's our relationship with God. Remain in him. Sustain in him. And we grow in him. That's what we do. Because in that chapter itself, several times it says, abide in me. Abide in me so that you can be sustained. So that you can grow. We are not meant to be just stay still. That's not Christianity. We are called to grow and abide and continue that relationship. Because the word abide means itself remain or continue. So that's what we are called to. Every day we are to continue to make Jesus Christ the center of our thoughts, the focus for our life, and the passion of our hearts. That's what we need to do that every day. Every single moment when he gets up in the morning, that's what, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do I remain with you? In this year, how can I continue to grow in that relationship? That's a challenging question. The first ever thing that you have to ask yourself, get out of your bed. That could be your resolution today. This year, asking this question, how can I abide in you? How can I continually grow in you? You see, when you abide in him, this John 15 reminds us, you bear fruit. You bear fruit. Why? Because that's the only purpose the branch has. The branch has got only one purpose, is to bear fruit. The job of branches is not to produce fruit. It's a difference, isn't it? It's not to produce fruit, but to bear fruit. That's a difference. Producing means that you have to work hard on it. You have to manipulate it. You have to find a way to produce fruit. No. He says, bear fruit. That means your job is to connect it with the root, and the fruit is inevitable. That's a part of it. That's a simple story that vine and the branches tells you. Remain in me, the fruit will come. The branch finds its purpose and its significance in bearing fruit. That's why we call a Christian. A Christian is a person connected in Christ and bear fruits of his character. Yeah? Otherwise, you are not Christian. Christian is the person who connected with Christ and bear the fruit of his character. It's hard, but it comes to you as you remain in him. As you abide in him. And it's interesting though, this chapter goes on. Yes, you bear fruit, but not just fruit, but it's much fruit. It tells you the potential that you are there to bring, maximize the fruit. More fruit, it comes in. How does he do it? How does he makes you, maximizes your potential in a way that you bear more fruit? One of the way he does is that it says the verse 2, it says he cuts away. And some translation tells you he takes away that branches that bear no fruit. Here's the thing. I liked that way because the word take away, some people think it's a genuine translation, is to pick up or lift up branches. If you look at, if you ever seen the branches, the vine branches there, they are, the grapes are not like a squash or pumpkin or watermelon. They don't lay on the ground. They don't lay on the ground. They need to be lifted it up. They need to be hanging. They do not develop when lying on the ground. In fact, they get rotten. They flourish better when hanging freely on the top because they get the sunlight to flourish and bear more fruit. You see, sometimes, or many times, things happen to us. God changes things, change of direction in our life. Sometimes God brings you encouragement, even answering your little prayer like finding your car park. space. Sometimes God just answers in a way that you never expected, or finding the promotion that you never expected, or finding a partner that you never expected, or some kind of encouragement that you find, and that just reminds you. And sometimes you feel like that was impossible, but I don't know how it happened. You know, some of the people who do share with me some of the answer to prayer things. I don't know how I got through the year 24. Some people look back now, because I never thought I would. But now here I am. Because God brings those kind of change things, encouragement, or sends somebody to encourage you in order to lift you up. Because wherever He repositions you, because He wants you to bear much fruit. Sometimes we don't like reposition because we'd rather be everything stay the same. Yeah, because it's not, and the church is the prone to it. We like to keep the same thing going because we've done it many years. Because it reminds me of great-grandma keeping the same thing. Or great-granddad, whatever things, we try to keep it the same thing because it gives a sense of security. Yeah, but God changes things, just shuffles around things, moves around things in order so that you can bear fruit, more fruit. And that's an encouragement that we can take so that you can bear more, because your potential, because God knows your potential, sometimes shifts around and changes you to the point that you can get the better sunlight from the Holy Spirit to encourage you. And that's why we are there. Because lots of Christians tells me, I like laying down, ground. I like to go with the sustainable, just still not being noticed and going things the way as it has been for the last 10 years. But that doesn't make us grow. That doesn't make us grow. Because sometimes I've been to the churches, you know, the people, some of the church doesn't, if they're trying to keep it the same thing, the results is inevitable. It will die. Whether you like it or not, it will die. Because we are not meant to lay on the ground. It needed to grow in order to keep. That's our strength as a Christian. That's our DNA. That it meant to grow. Otherwise, it'll downhill. Someone calls that, sometimes our Christianity turn into some kind of decaffeinated Christianity, they call. Decaffeinated Christianity. It's like a sort of coffee that doesn't keep you awake in the night. Yeah? It doesn't stir your heart. It doesn't tell you, hey, you know that person that you met on the supermarket? I felt sadness in that face. I need to pray for that person. Middle of the night. It stirs your heart. Hey, you know the family that I met? There is something in them. It tells me they are going through difficult times. It moves you. Or when you come to church, I sat next to that particular person. I saw something in them that taught me something. I need to change. You are aware about what's going on around you. That's what I meant is caffeinated Christianity, not decaffeinated Christianity. That keeps you going and moving forward. And God does that by lifts you up, hanging there on top of it so that you can see things in a different view. You see the world in a different perspective. And another thing, the way that God does it, in order to make you more fruit, He prunes it. You know, again, that's the kind of thing that we don't like, that pruning things. Because I'm not a gardener, and I know some of you are there. He prunes that. I saw people working hard on taking things away. I just thought, why are you cutting it off things? It may bear more fruit. But actually, it's the other way around. The things that stops you bearing more fruit. The certain branches, they take it off because it's right before where it's going to, the fruits comes out, the another branch comes out. It distracts you. And they cut it off things and prunes things. I think God does that sometimes. And we don't like it, definitely. Because I'm not going to minimize that things. When God takes up certain things, that can bring you distraction. And it's painful sometimes. It takes it away, certain things of that in our life. Even in that sometimes is a losing a job. Or even a breakdown in a certain relationship that is really sucks your life out. You know, that's not, it's like an abusive relationship. That son, God just gives you a warning sign. Hey, I'm going to take it up to certain things. I'm going to stop you so that you can refocus on me. So that you can get more strength. And some more fruit. He gets your attention by taking off certain things of your life as well. Sometimes that we're holding on for a long time. He just gets your attention a little bit. Hey, here I am. Come back to me. Because even though it seems uncomfortable, I'm going to take certain things off for you so that you can come back to me and remain in me so that I can bear more fruit. See, God is a God of full of compassion, full of mercy, and his grace. He never meant to harm you and to bring you to the floor. And just say, you deserve that. Because sometimes we get that picture. Oh, we don't deserve this. God must be punishing me. Not yet. In fact, he's not going to punish you. While you are here, he's going to give you every last chance that you can respond and you come and be connected with him. And remain in him so that he can grow and flourish. And the way also the word pruning is a similar word for clean, making purified. Because that is another word that I thought God is trying to do. Certain things that he makes you clean. In I don't know why he says that in John's Gospel. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. In verse 8. But again, is even making you even better way so that you can bear much fruit. Cleaning, pruning is a similar way God does it in your life. So, now I've given to you the idea of what is this vine and the branches and the idea of what God's character is for us, who initiates it, who helps you to sustain it, and we respond to that love, and wonder what you're going through in your life, what God is saying to you. Paul brings out this idea of circumcision is a part of making covenant, because that's come from the Old Testament idea too. Because Old Testament, the Hebrew boys had to go through the circumcision. It's the way of making covenant with the Lord, taking away certain things away, so that it purifies you, makes you clean. And Paul says, actually, forget about the circumcision side. It's a circumcision of your heart is the more important. The picture that he brings out, you need to be circumcised in your heart so that you can bear more fruit. Paul says, it's a change of heart that brings more fruit. Your hearts need to be circumcised in Romans. In Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Changing by the Holy Spirit every day from one degree to another. With one change to another change in a way that he purifies you so that you can bear more fruit. Because when our hearts are pure, you are clean. And you will be able to see God where others can't. You will be able to hear God where others can't. That's a covenant that we are going to make today. Lord, purify me so that I can stand and make this covenant with you, and knowing you will help me to keep this covenant. We are not going to make this covenant saying, Lord, give me this, give me that, and so that I can prosper. We are going to say, Wherever you take me, help me to be connected with you. Whether it's down, whether it's up, whether it's lots of things that I can receive, whether I have nothing to receive. Yet, help me to be connected in this route. I want you to stand up and say this prayer, this covenant prayer, as a part of response, and I want you to mean it. I want you to mean it in a way, Lord, help me to mean it and to keep this covenant, knowing I'm not very good at keeping this command, this covenant, but you are going to help me. Shall we say that wholeheartedly? Let's stand. This is the prayer that we can say with whatever the way, whether you say it quietly or whether you say it loud, but let it come from your heart. Let it say together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me, and when there is none, when I am troubled, and when I am at peace, you will be done when I am valued, and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment, and when it is lacking, when I have all things, and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I'm yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You made this covenant. Let this prayer keep on echoing in your hearts. Whatever God's saying to you this morning, and wherever it tells you, just step out and do the things for me from this year. Please do it. Don't delay it. And whatever the commitment you are going to make, and whatever this promise that you made this today, let that continue in our hearts. Ponder. Just don't let that be just for today. Let that be every day. You go with this. I'm going to ask Derek to lead us in the song as we prepare. A sign of this covenant as we prepare to receive bread and wine as well. So we are going to do it differently though. Before you set the song, the way we are going to do this communion, basically, you are going to sit where you are. And it's like God initiating that relationship that we heard. So we are going, the bread and wine coming to you. And you receive that, and the stewards will give it to you. And eat whenever you can, the bread comes. But when the wine comes, hold on to it, and we can drink together. Again, it's a sign of unity that we can say together. If you're not sure, just follow what the other person is doing next to you. Okay? Just go. If everybody get it wrong, that means you are doing it right. Okay? That's okay. But let's do that one and let's sing together.